Thank you very much, ladies, for sharing with us, and thank each of you for your testimonies. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to please open up to the 119th Psalm. Psalm number 119. In this morning's message, we had talked about one of the things that our moms deserve is to see her children walk in righteousness. And in this particular psalm, which, by the way, is an incredible psalm, but in this particular psalm, in verses 9 through 16, young people are being addressed. In particular, young men. But nonetheless, you're not out of order to consider young people in general. And young people, remember, in Jewish society, people were young as long as their parents were alive. There was to be that respect and that honor paid to parents as long as they were alive, until they became then the patriarch and the matriarchs of family. In this particular psalm, in verses 9 through 16, the issue of purity is dealt with. And as the psalmist is writing this, this is what is written, beginning at verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, tonight as we look at this particular passage, help each of us to allow our hearts to be open to the searchlight of your Spirit. And Father, help us to be, as a people, to be individuals who keep purity as the centermost focus of our lives. And Father, we'll certainly thank you for what you do there. Now guide us through your word and help us to follow its principles, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. As I was preparing this, I came up with seven things out of this particular passage that we'll want to look at. I want us to notice the pursuit, the persistence, the protection, the purveyance, excuse me. I'm not even sure if that's a word. I believe it is, but I'm not sure. Greg, is that a word? I hear of people who are purveyors of truth and that kind of thing, and so I'm assuming that the word purveyance is a word. If not, it is this particular word. All right? And then the next is the proper perspective, and then the ponderance, and then finally the praise. So let's look at these. Notice, first of all, the pursuit. As the psalmist begins this, he begins by asking a question. How can I keep my way pure? How can I be pure before you? And then as he begins by where it must begin if we are to have purity. And that is with the pursuit of God. And as he begins this, he says in verse 10, he says, with all my heart I have sought thee with all my heart. I have sought thee. Do you remember what the scriptures tell us? We shall seek for God and find him when? When we seek for him with our whole heart. God is not a double-minded God. He's not a double-standard God. And he does not attach himself to double-minded individuals. And so if we're going to walk in righteousness, we have to search him and search for him with all of our hearts. We need to pursue God and that proper relationship with him. And so that's where the psalmist begins. He begins with that pursuit, because that's where purity begins. It begins in that pursuit of God. Secondly, I want you to notice the persistence. Look at the second part of that 10th verse. It says, "Do not let me wander from thy commandments." Don't let me wander from thy commandments. I was sharing with the Sunday school class this morning. I don't believe that I shared it in either of the other services. Sometimes if I did, I apologize. I don't believe I did. But this past week, there was a judge in the United States who had declared that there's no longer any need for 10 commandments, only 6. That the first 4 commandments are just too offensive. Now, what are the first 4 commandments? Yeah, our relationship to God and our reverence and respect to him. The last 6 deal with our relationships with one another. And this particular judge, there's a lot of speculation. People are saying, well, he's just showing how stupid it is, because there was a case that was brought before him by a group of atheists who wanted God removed from all public references, you know, that kind of thing. And so this particular judge said, well, all right, then if you're so offended by the 10 commandments, we'll just remove the first 4. They're not important. But the ones that deal with society, we ought to pay attention to those. You know, that's not what the Word of God tells us. We don't get the right to pick and choose. And if we're going to follow God, we can't walk all over in these kinds of ideas and these kinds of things. But we need to stay focused and central and keep our eye on the path of righteousness that God has established before us. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, look, don't let me wander. God, I searched for you with my whole heart. Now don't let me wander from your commandments. Keep me focused on what you would have. If a young man will keep his way pure, that's what he has to do. There are a lot of temptations in this world to sway us, regardless of what our age is, to sway us away from a focused relationship with God. And too often, we fall for those traps and then we wander instead of being driven towards Christ. And so, be persistent if you're going to have the way of purity. The third thing is, notice the protection. Look at verse 11. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Our protection away from sin is in the Word of God. And when we hide that in our hearts, when we treasure it, that's what helps to keep us from falling for the traps of sin. He says, look, I've treasured your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Had the word of God never been completed and put together and made so easy for us, there would be many ways we wouldn't realize what sin was. All right? Now, not one of us has an excuse, because the word of God has been put together. God has ordained it. God has provided it. We in this country, of all places in the world, have absolutely no excuse for not knowing the word of God. I mean, it is so available. And there are various translations that can give us the principles of God that can help to keep our focus on Him. We have no excuses for not knowing the Word of God. And so it's important that we take the protection, the principles of God's Word, and keep them in our hearts and in our minds, and walk in them according to the way that God has established. Now, number four, I want you to notice the purveyance, verses 12 and 13. He says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth." What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, I have become a purveyor of truth. I have taken the ordinances, the commands, your word, and I've told about that. And in the process of that, I'm not being silent in my faith, but I am aggressively sharing. There is a word, purveyor, and that is an individual who involves himself in whatever, all right? For those who are witnesses, they are purveyors of truth. They are people who tell about the things of God, who share the Word of God, who share what God has done for them in their lives. They are purveyors of truth. And it becomes important for you and I to be vocal about our faith, to witness, to testify. Doesn't mean that we're all going to be evangelists, but we are all called to be witnesses. Every one of us. And Jesus gave several illustrations of that. He talked about the light that's set on the hill can't be hidden. He talked about the fact that we are not to take our light and put it under a bushel. You remember that kid's song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Won't put it under a bushel, and there was the little thing. Instead, I'm going to let it shine. You see, Jesus talked about that. He says, let your light so shine before men that they will glorify your Father in heaven. So we can't hide our faith. We must let the light of Christ shine in our lives. And that in that way, we need to be purveyors of the truth. If God has spoken to us and changed us and brought change in us, we need to not hide that. You know what I see in a lot of young people? Young being under the age of 85. Over the age of 85, they're still to let their light shine. But by then, they should have it together. All right? But those under the age of 85, this is what I see. Well, I don't want to get too aggressive with my faith. I'll try to keep it kind of hidden. This is a problem in our schools. It's a problem in our communities. It's a problem in the workplace. You know, I really don't want to offend anyone. And so I'll just kind of keep my faith back. I'm so glad that Jesus wasn't afraid to be offended or to be offensive for you and I. He was bold. He told it like it was, even when it wasn't popular, even though he knew it was going to cost him dearly. Stuck with it. And you and I are to be purveyors of the truth. And that's everywhere that we go and in everything that we do. Number five. I want you to notice the proper perspective. Look at verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I have rejoiced. Did you ever in your life get a gift that was worth nothing, really nothing monetarily, but it just blessed your socks off? You just kind of, you know, were blessed by that particular gift. That's exactly what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, man, more important than all of the monies in the world is the testimonies of thy word. That's a proper perspective. I have rejoiced. I have rejoiced. We are good evangelicals and we don't dance, but nonetheless, in this particular reference, the rejoicing here isn't just a, well, yippee, ain't that nice. By the way, that'd be a good sermon title, wouldn't it? Ain't that nice. Remind me of that, Bill. It's your responsibility. All right. But the indication here of the word rejoice means in heart, in spirit, in body. It embodies the complete person. I love to see someone enjoying songs of praise and worship. You know, their feet are just a-tapping and their hands are just a-clapping. And I don't know how I come up with another word that rhymes, Randy. But they just enjoy rejoicing and their faith. And that's the picture that the psalmist is having here. I have rejoiced. You know, it isn't just a little smile on the face, which, by the way, it's not against the law to smile. All right? Having a sense of humor is not against the law. Making fun of Keith Deitch because he can't hammer the wood, that's not against the law. You see, it's okay to smile. It is all right to rejoice together and in what God has done. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying here. He's saying, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. Lord, as you reveal to me your word, as I grow, as I discover, wow, I am blessed. I rejoice in those kinds of things. I just love it. When you're reading through the scriptures, you know, and you're doing some studying or you're reading and accidentally you come across something It's not really accidentally, but you know what I mean. Wasn't exactly what you were looking for. Do you ever read the scriptures with a preconceived notion as to what that passage is about? And then suddenly you're reading and God says, have you ever noticed this? Have you ever had that experience happen to you? And you're going, wow, I've never noticed that before. I never saw that. Well, that means that you've been reading that passage with a preconceived notion. But suddenly God shows you something. You go, wow. It's kind of an aha moment. And you kind of get that idea. Wow, now I understand. I get it. I see what this is about. And it's really not the way that I've perceived things in the past. It's just kind of that aha moment. Well, that's what the psalmist is talking about. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. In all of the things that I've received in life and all of the riches that I have been blessed with, Lord, I have rejoiced in your testimonies. And it's just been an exciting thing. It's okay to rejoice in the Lord. All right? Number 6, I want you to notice the ponderance here. Verse 15. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. The word regard means look upon. And that doesn't mean observe them from afar. All right? But it means I will look at, pay close attention to your ways. I will ponder, if you will. I will meditate on your precepts. I will ponder those things in my mind and in my heart. When I rise in the morning, when I lie down at night to sleep, when I walk through the day, I will consider your precepts. I want to be careful here, because if I do this, I might sin against God. I want to be careful I don't do that. You see, we're going to ponder those particular precepts, and that helps to guard our path, and it helps to guard our spiritual life, and it keeps us, once again, on the way of purity, because we're pondering, what would God think of this? Should I do this? Will this offend God? And I'm going to tell you what, folks. It's far more important whether you consider whether you offend God or you offend people. It's far more important to worry about offending God than it is whether or not people get offended. God is the one who is the ultimate judge. Not you, not me, not other people. God is the judge. And we should always consider whether or not we're offending Him and make the decision that if man gets offended, they get offended. But I'm going to be careful I don't offend God. And that becomes very, very important. And so the psalmist says, I will meditate, I will ponder on thy precepts, and I'll regard your ways. I will look upon your ways. I will live by your precepts. That's more important than anything. And then number 7, notice the praise in verse 16. I shall delight in thy statutes and shall not forget thy word. I will delight and not forget. But pastor, don't you know that God is just a killjoy? I will delight in your precepts. I will delight in your statutes. I'll not forget your word. I will follow you and obey you, Lord, regardless of what I think, regardless of what I feel. Lord, I want to be your person. See, I've searched with you, Father, with all of my heart. You are a treasure, and I don't want to dirty that treasure. So I'm going to regard everything that you teach me, everything that you show me, I want to protect my life in you. I want to be and say and do all that you want, not what I want. You want to keep your way pure? That's how it comes about. You follow God and don't back down. Let's stand. In case you haven't noticed, we're all young people here tonight. Okay? The young person has asked in his heart, how can I keep my way pure? So whatever your age, consider the light of eternity. You're young. All right? Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the directions that you give us in your word. Now please help us to passionately follow you, to not be concerned with what people at work think, people at school think, Father, but instead let us be concerned about what you think. And help us in every step that we take to maintain the road of purity and righteousness before you, so that the destination of heaven is reached without shame. Now, Father, again, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Now help us to be good witnesses for you this week, and we'll give you thanks and praise, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.